You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cam Newton is the offseason quarterback target of choice for a lot of Chicago Bears fans, but his circumstances with the Carolina Panthers make a potential trade a bit of a complicated affair. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we're looking at the latest comments from Carolina Panthers owner David Tepper about the Cam Newton situation and how his injury and contract might just play into his future in Carolina or in Chicago. And we'll also continue our week-long Ultimate Division crossover here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, looking at the second-place Minnesota Vikings and kind of a strange season for them, especially when it comes to the Bears and how the Bears beat them twice, but the Vikings still making the playoffs and still having some say in a discussion about maybe even being better than the 13-3 Packers this year. We'll get into all that and more. But first, Cam Newton. The Carolina Panthers quarterback said earlier this offseason that he fully expects to return to the team that drafted him number one overall, but he's still recovering from a foot injury that caused him to miss 14 games this season, and his team made significant changes to the coaching staff, of course, bringing in Matt Rhule from Baylor, replacing Ron Rivera, and so there's some question about whether or not this regime will have the same allegiance to Newton that the former coaching staff did. And the Carolina Panthers owner had an opportunity on Tuesday to really firmly back Newton as his quarterback in Carolina long term. And while he didn't say the Panthers were going to get rid of him or commit to anything in that direction, his lack of commitment to Newton, I think, said more than the words he spoke himself.
Something coming up, though, that is very much you are one of the key decision makers on it is bringing back Cam Newton or deciding what to do with him, deciding his future. Lots of facets to this, Dave, including what have your conversations been like with him and when do you expect to make a decision?
Well, look, I've said again and again and again about it's a question of how healthy he is, foot and otherwise, and that's still the number one overwhelming thing to see how healthy he is and how we can figure out when he's healthy or not. And, you know, everything comes from that.
Dave, have other teams reached out inquiring about his trade possibility, if he's available for trade? And if so, was that something that you'd be open for?
You know, I could ask Nicole. She answers the phone in her house, but no, I haven't heard about that, so.
Cam said he absolutely would be back this year.
Did you talk to Nicole? I told you.
I'm just saying that Cam said he'll absolutely be back.
She's kind of short, so I can't know if you can see
her. So if he said he's absolutely going to be back, and he was inspired by conversations with you and Rhule, where do you stand? Will you think he'll be back?
Listen, I'm not a doctor. You know, I said it a million times. Is he good? Is he healthy? And how does? I mean, he's not a doctor. So, you know, there's a lot of different things can happen. But first is he healthy? Tell me that, and then we can talk.
Tepper could have just as easily said, yes, Cam Newton is our quarterback when he's healthy. We want him under center in Carolina week one, and we look forward to him being our leader for the near future. That was not what we heard, and it's led to a much more increased speculation about Newton's departure from Carolina, despite Newton's own comments about wanting to stay there. But the very injury that Tepper is referencing as his non-answer scapegoat really makes any potential trade of Cam Newton to Chicago or elsewhere difficult to sort of parse through, because you don't know the status of Cam Newton's foot. We don't know exactly when he will be healthy. We don't know if there's any long-term concerns for a quarterback who is just built bigger than most other starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and he's now 30 years old. He will turn 31 this offseason, and perhaps it could lead to some durability concerns with a shoulder injury 2 years ago that ended his season a little bit short, and then the foot injury really cutting this whole season off entirely. It makes Cam Newton's value and sort of how his reliability a little bit questionable. And then on top of that, Cam Newton is entering the last year of his current contract in 2020. He'll cost $21 million against the salary cap, but Newton is also thought to be looking for that next deal from Carolina or elsewhere. And if he's injured, it makes it a little bit hard to want to invest a long-term deal worth a lot of guaranteed money, again, also on the wrong side of 30. So not only is his trade value difficult to assess because of the injury, but also because his next team may have to pay him a contract, or do you trade for him and let him play out that final year on sort of a prove-it deal, which sort of makes his value to the team acquiring him lower. But the Panthers, of course, would want to get as much as they can in a trade for a quarterback of Cam Newton's caliber, even if they want to move on. So I think all of those factors make it seem as unlikely as any other quarterback that seems like if the Bears are going to bring somebody in, Newton has a lot more hurdles to get through. He might be one of the most talented and intriguing options, and a lot of Bears fans would love to see Cam Newton in Chicago, but it's also, I think, the most difficult for Ryan Pace to pull off. Certainly, adding Cam Newton to Chicago would be a big boost to this Bears offense and really increase its performance in a notable way. If you're looking for some help to increase your performance when it matters most, then you need to check out our friends at BlueChew.com. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And because they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you think you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. You just pay for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. If you're like me, you're getting a little tired of the cold and the snow this winter, but fortunately there's a place where you can get away to warmer weather, beautiful landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, and incredible food, and still keep the sports flowing through your blood 24 hours a day. Follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. They've got 10 stadiums within 50 miles in the greater Phoenix area that host 15 different MLB teams, including both Chicago franchises. And all throughout the spring, you're going to get 75-degree temperatures and a great break from this Chicago winter. It's a very laid-back experience with spring training down there, sort of like Bears training camp, where you can go to the stadium a little bit early and meet the players and get autographs and really take in the whole experience. And when you're not at the ballpark, you can bring the wife and kids along and stay at family-friendly resorts or go out to water parks, aquariums, science museums, wildlife parks, dude ranches. There is so much to do in Arizona, and the baseball is just the icing on the cake. So plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. So all week long here on the Locked On Podcast Network, all 32 teams are taking part in the Ultimate Division Crossover, where the four podcasts representing each team in each division are coming together to break down each of the four teams. And then on the last day of the week, we're going to kind of come together and look at the division as a whole. So on Monday, we talked about the Detroit Lions. Yesterday, we focused in on the Chicago Bears. And following in division order from worst to first, today we move on to the Minnesota Vikings, a team that really was feeling like the cream of the crop for some stretch of the season. Kirk Cousins really played well and put together one of his best years, maybe his best since joining Minnesota, but they still were only able to finish 10-6. They had some bumps in the road along the way, and of course, a quick exit in the playoffs kind of left a lot of things disappointing. They just didn't quite have the same luck that maybe the Green Bay Packers had and other teams across the NFL when it came to the balls bouncing their way and the opponents sort of lining up in the right way for them to have the most success. But the Vikings are still a team that feels like they're on this tipping point where their championship window is starting to close. There were rumors of Mike Zimmer's potential firing this offseason if the playoffs didn't go as well as they wanted, and Kirk Cousins' contract is starting to come down to an end, and they changed offensive coordinators. So it's kind of a weird time for the Minnesota Vikings, and I imagine the Bears will be paying particularly close attention as we anticipate a pretty tight divisional race next year. The Bears may be looking to be where the Vikings were this year in that wild card spot, competing for that division title and hoping to take that next step as they return to contention. So with that, let's turn to Luke Braun from Locked On Vikings, who will join me and Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers and Matt Deary from Locked On Lions for day three of the Ultimate Division Crossover.
Okay, everybody, we are here for day three of the Ultimate Division Crossover. I'm Luke Braun with Locked On Vikings. I'm here with Lauren Cox, Matt Deary, Peter Bukowski, all of my favorite NFC North Division rivals. And we're talking about the Vikings today. The Vikings season was a familiar-ish story. They had offensive line issues. We have more Kirk Cousins debates coming in. But really, it was also characterized by a regression in the secondary, and it looks like things there are going to get worse before they get better, with a bunch of contracts expiring and guys getting old and expensive and maybe cap casualties. So really, I want to start, though, on the offensive side of the ball, and I kind of want to talk to Peter here, because the Packers and Vikings ran the same scheme, and that scheme was solved in the same way by the same team. Our seasons ended the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess, what do you see as the differences between the way the Packers do it and the way the Vikings do it, and the differences in the way that we're going to have to attack things going into the offseason?
Well, it's interesting, too, because it wasn't even necessarily just the way that the 49ers took care of the Packers and Vikings defensively in the second half.
The Packers did the same thing to us, too. The Packers and 49ers took us down the same way.
In the second half, the Niners just ran over the Vikings. And for four quarters, the Niners ran over the Packers. So it is interesting that though there is that symmetry in offense, it was ultimately a failure to attack the 49ers defensively in the same sorts of ways that led to both teams losing in the playoffs. It is interesting because the intent of these two offenses is so different. The Vikings want to be a run-focused team with the outside zone and get the ball to Dalvin Cook as much as possible and then create those shot plays. The Packers want to mix it up a little bit more. They're much more pass-heavy on early downs. It's something that I would love to see the Vikings do if I were in charge of the Vikings, but as someone who covers this from a Packers standpoint, I would love to see the Vikings continue to play offense the way that they are. It is a weird thing for me because I look at this Vikings team and I just see talent, or at least investment in talent, everywhere. And it's like, okay, how do we identify the places where they need to add talent, because they have talent. But right now, that's all it is. It's talent is just is, or the phrase that I like to use is that potential is unrealized talent. Once it becomes realized, we just call them good players. We don't say talent. We don't say potential. And it seems like the Vikings have a lot of talented players with potential, whereas they need to get better play out of some of those guys. And that includes star players like Xavier Rhodes.
Yeah, well, they got guys that are getting old, too. You know, Linval Joseph seemed to hit a little bit of an age slowdown. And I, especially in that San Francisco game, and especially against the Packers and teams that have run on him, you know, Linval Joseph had a number of bad games. Xavier Rhodes had a terrible season, and he has a contract that makes him a possible cap casualty. So if you're looking for an influx of veteran talent into your secondary, that's somebody that doesn't cost you a compensatory pick or anything like that. So there's all kinds of conversations with that, because the Vikings are in this terrible cap situation and they need to find a way to get younger and cheaper without getting too much worse. And a lot of that means that some of these defensive stars that were just unilaterally good players might have to leave. And now you have to go back to getting people who are, like, hopefully guys that have potential. You know, when the Vikings played, they haven't beaten the Bears in 2 years, like I said on yesterday's show. And so I think right now, and the Vikings went 2-4 in this division, and I think that's their focus, is how do you do better in the division? Because you can't go 2-4 in the division and hope to win it.
Yeah, but the Bears went 4-2 in the division, and that didn't get them all that far either. So it's not a universal solution, but certainly the first place to start. And I think we're going to see the Vikings put a little bit more emphasis on that moving forward. And part of that will be avoiding another sweep at the hands of the Chicago Bears. We'll look at what else the Vikings have to do and what could be in store for them this offseason up next on the Ultimate Division Crossover here on Locked On Bears.
So I guess, Lauren, what is your perception of these last couple of Vikings seasons? Because every time they go up against the Chicago Bears, they lay an egg.
Well, I think part of it has just been a combination of, I guess, Vikings poor timing and Bears good luck as far as the 2019 season. You know, early on, like you had kind of talked about, it was pretty much the worst of the Vikings that they had that season. But it was also a time when, inadvertently, it happened to be Mitchell Trubisky being injured and Chase Daniel getting to run the Bears offense against the Vikings. And lo and behold, things went a little bit more smoothly all around. I mean, the running game still wasn't quite where they wanted it to be. And obviously, Chase Daniel is a limited quarterback, but things went a little bit more smoothly in that game. And then they played the Vikings back up at the end of 2019. And then, you know, the 2018 Bears team was just sort of a different animal when it came to the defense really playing well and taking so much of that pressure off of the offense. So I don't really feel like it was anything the Bears were doing specifically or anything the Vikings were not doing specifically. I mean, they even in some of those games this year, the Vikings were still getting pressure after the quarterback, but it just, for whatever reason, kind of like what Peter was talking about with talent versus potential, it's like it just wasn't quite all lining up for the Vikings the way it needed to. And I think maybe that's part of why there were at least rumblings about whether or not Mike Zimmer would be on the hot seat or if even a disappointing playoff loss would lead to his firing. And of course, now the Vikings change offensive coordinators. I can see where there could be some coaching changes and maybe things just get shored up a little bit more. And that could be all the difference against the Bears.
Yeah, it's interesting because they really made their coaching decisions. You know, they had to replace Kevin Stefanski, who's coaching the Bears now. And they also lost George Edwards, their defensive coordinator, didn't renew his contract. They lost the defensive backs coach. And the way that they replaced all of those holes was really like geared toward not having any sort of the least turnover possible. You know, they just wanted to keep continuity as much as possible. They promoted Gary Kubiak to offensive coordinator, so they're not going to change anything from the way that they coach. And so if things do go south, then you're cleaning house, right? Because you went, nope, we're doubling down on this formula, and if that backfires, it all blows up. But I want to talk to Matt about that too, because there were some other like sacrificial lamb goings on over there in Detroit. And of course, you know, in the two games, Detroit just kind of seemed like they fell completely flat against the Vikings. I mean, they played them tough for like one half of the first game in Ford Field and then completely fell flat in 2019. So what was your perception of the Vikings and, you know, how they differ from a team that is in the situation that the Lions are in? Are they headed that way? Or do you see them as somebody that can kind of pull out of it without hitting that 3-13? We're picking third overall and hope and arguing about the quarterback situation.
I really like where Minnesota is and you know, with the Lions, I do see them as being better, as we talked about the other day. But, you know, if you watch Danielle Hunter and Kyle Rudolph against Detroit, and just watch them in those games. Those two are damn Hall of Famers. And Danielle Hunter may end up being there. I don't know about Rudolph, but for some odd reason against
the Probably Lions, not.
Kyle Rudolph is unbelievable against Detroit. That's the thing, again, when we talk Detroit and we talk Minnesota, is the identity. And I mentioned this a little bit the other day. I love how the Vikings get after you defensively. And the guys that they've had, whether it's Hunter or whether it's Everson Griffin or whether it's Harrison Smith, those are franchise game changers year in and year out. Your linebacking core with Kendricks, I mean, those guys year in and year out are really, really good football players that you don't have to worry about. And that's the question that you ask in Detroit, is who are those guys not named maybe Darius Slay? So the Vikings having that identity under Zimmer, and like you mentioned, going through some different things. I'll be interested in seeing what the offense looks like, because I thought Kevin Stefanski really got Kirk Cousins to play at a high level this year. And I'm not saying it's all Stefanski, but I think that would be a concern for Vikings fans listening, is, okay, how do they turn the page? I know it's Kubiak, and he's done well for years as a coordinator, but I thought they had something really good with that play-action pass game with Cousins and Cook, Madison when he was in the game. And you know, I would hope that Kubiak would not change much and run that Stefanski system, because I think Minnesota's got something good going right now.
I hope you're right about that. We got more coming up all throughout the week here on the Ultimate Division Crossover.
Tomorrow, the Ultimate Division Crossover will be back with a look at the first place Green Bay Packers, but I can promise you it's not going to be an all-around love fest for the 13-3 team because they had plenty of question marks even on that squad that made it all the way to the NFC Championship game. And Packers fans, I think, are wise enough, believe it or not, to recognize, to be self-aware enough. How about that? Self-aware enough to realize that that 13-3 finish was probably a little bit fluky, and they had a lot of things go their way that maybe aren't sustainable. And in the same way, Packers fans love to talk about Bears regression heading into 2019. I think Bears fans are going to have plenty of room to talk about Packer regression in 2020. So you're going to want to come back for that tomorrow, and you're going to want to subscribe to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. We'll also be continuing our look at the various quarterback options for the Chicago Bears, and I'm curious to talk to Ross Jackson next week from Locked On Saints to get a little bit of a sense of what Drew Brees' future might look like, if Teddy Bridgewater is going to hit the open market and what his value might be, and where Taysom Hill fits in all this, because we keep seeing a lot of Twitter debates about whether or not he can be a legitimate quarterback, and I think, spoiler alert, that's not likely the case, given a large amount of evidence behind that. But we'll get into all that and the different dynamics that play into that as well in the near future, hoping to get a little bit more perspective on some of these other quarterback options as well. And then before you know it, we'll be talking NFL scouting combine. We'll have full free agency and the NFL draft after that. So no shortage of Bears football talk coming your way this offseason, and no shortage of opportunities to bear down.